Jamie and Locker with you here on a Monday edition of the Green Zone. I hope you had a great Father's Day yesterday. Did your daughters FaceTime on Father's Day? They FaceTime?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have regular sort of family group FaceTime stuff. Yeah. Right? Because we're spread out.
You're all over the place, right?
Yeah.
I'm not there yet, thankfully.
No, they're in the house.
They're very much in the house.
Yeah.
With 13 and 7-year-olds, homemade cards, the whole gamut for Father's Day. Just let me watch the U.S. Open. That was my only thing. And J.J. Spahn did not disappoint.
My kids, I'm an anti-card guy. I hate cards. I hate buying cards.
You shouldn't have told me that. You shouldn't have told me that.
And my daughter bought me a Father's Day card, and she goes, "Dad, before you get mad at me, it's the ugliest card I've ever seen." And I open it up, and it was...
Oh, she did it as a joke.
It was one of the ugliest cards I've ever seen, and so she gets points for the Father's Day card this year.
Again, I hope you had a great Father's Day, as Oiler fans like Locker are hoping for a great day tomorrow to force a Game 7. Ryan Kennedy, editor-chief of the Hockey News, is here on the Green Zone to assess Game 5, look ahead to Game 6. Ryan, here we go again. Who should start in goal for the Edmonton Oilers for the third straight game, Ryan?
Yeah, you know, we tried to ask Chris Knobloch today. He was not biting. I'm gonna say Stuart Skinner, but I don't say that with a ton of confidence. I think at this point, you kind of just have to go with your gut, because they've both had flashes of brilliance. They've both been caved in. So, you know, maybe you flip a coin. I don't know.
Was it a mistake to... That's Jamie's sort of narrative today, is that this flip-flop and making it a thing was the mistake. So was it a mistake to put Pickard in? Because I would have put him in for Game 5.
I just feel that they put themselves in a tough spot, and...
Yeah,
they are in that tough spot now, and that tough spot is, what if you put Pickard in for Game 5 and you lose? Then can you go back to Skinner, or are you in a place now where you go back to Pickard? And, you know, I mean, Pickard didn't have the greatest game. He wasn't terrible or anything like that, but, you know, he didn't steal the game for them, obviously. And so now you're in a situation where you're really not sure who a hot hand would be.
Ryan Kennedy joining us for the Hockey News. My premise is this. You just come out and you say, he's our guy. This is it. It's way more about the five guys in front of him than the guy between the pipes. And that's my story with Stuart Skinner.
Ride or die?
I look at Stuart as going, has he really cost them a game when they have such terrible starts? And it's like, oh, you just want your goalie to give you a save, but come on. I just want a team to give me a goal if I'm a goaltender looking the other way. How disappointing has it been for the Oilers to start off as slowly as they have the last couple of games?
Yeah, that's been a big thing. And again, Knobloch talked about that today. I think what it really comes down to is discipline, right? Like, the penalties in the first period, we've seen quite a bit of them, and it's all about momentum. And you can really tell that, you know, those early deficits are getting to the Oilers, because they know that the Florida Panthers are such a structured team. They're typically not very easy to score against. And when you're getting into these special teams battles, and, you know, your PK is not clicking, and, you know, the power play hasn't been as dynamic as it has been in, you know, in other series, it can be very deflating. So I would assume that Chris Knobloch is saying to his players, from now until puck drop, please do not take another high sticking penalty, particularly in the first period, because we're just getting killed here.
Ryan Kennedy, editor-in-chief of the Hockey News. Outside of the starts, which you talked about, is there anything you're seeing in particular that the Panthers are doing that are causing so many issues for the Oilers, especially in Game 5?
Yeah, the one thing that I really dialed in on was the smarts and anticipation of the Panthers particularly Brad Marchand. He had two goals that were basically carbon copies of each other. They just started off from different points, but where he anticipated the faceoff, jumped the route, lost his man, and then went in for a goal. The second one was even more spectacular because he put the puck between Jake Walman on his way there. But just it's those little details, you know, whether it was Pod Colson or Corey Perry, where it's like, make sure you're on your guy. Even if he bolts, you bolt immediately as well, you know? And again, at this time of year, when we're right at the end and you have two teams that are so incredibly talented, the margins are so small. And right now, Florida is winning the margin.
I saw the same thing.
I'm sorry to get into the minutia of that first Brad Marchand goal off the faceoff. But, Ryan, what caught me, usually, you know, guys skates, they're pointed to the middle of the ice and they're waiting to see. Right before that puck drops, you see Brad kind of shift his body. It looked like he was at the start of a speed skating race, the way he set up, and boom, his jump off the hop.
He's cheating, too.
Well, they all cheat, locker, deal with it. Like, it is amazing how smart Brad Marchand is. Like, that was just pure hockey IQ on where he was reading that play to go for that first goal.
Exactly, and that's what makes the Panthers so dangerous is you think about all their forwards, just take their forwards and the level of smarts that they have as a group. You think about Sam Reinhart being a Selke finalist. You think about Barkov winning the Selke. You think about, you know, how Sam Bennett is able to operate on the ice and be successful in very different ways, whether it's putting the puck in the net or putting a guy through the boards. And then, of course, Marchand. I mean, his whole line with Lundell and Lusterainen, they've been incredible all playoffs, and they've really been difference makers. And Paul Maurice was actually talking about this the other day, where it just frees up all the other shooters on the team, where all of a sudden you're like, oh man, we have to pay attention to their third line because they've been amazing. So you can't just think, how are we going to stop Barkov or Verhaeghe or Tkachuk? You also have to think, how are we going to stop the Brad Marchand line?
Yeah. The Brad Marchand getting the jump on a face-off or winning a puck battle, winning a 50-50 puck battle, it doesn't drive me as crazy as you brought up Sam Bennett. How he finds these soft spots. Like, why is he not covered? Drives me nuts. He'll get the puck and he'll be like wide open. Where did he come from? That's this series has been driving me. Sam Bennett has been driving me crazy as an Oilers fan. I want to talk a little bit, Ryan, about what the Oilers need, or is there somebody in particular you're seeing that needs to step their game up for a game six?
Well, you know, I said this earlier in the series. I think Evander Kane is really the bellwether of how things go for the Oilers. Like, when he is playing physical and he's got his offense going and he's staying out of the box, they're succeeding, and he's a difference maker because, I mean, you know, it's no secret. Zach Hyman's not there, and he's not coming back this series, so you need somebody to step up in that role. But when Evander Kane is undisciplined, he's basically unplayable at this point because he'll take those minors, like I mentioned, the high sticking penalties, and then, you know, obviously when things got out of hand in Game 3, you know, I mean, he gets booted from the game, and you know, no one is helped by that game getting extended by, you know, all the shenanigans at the end. I mean, it was already done. So you're just feeding the Panthers. I mean, they love that. They love when teams get off their game. So if Kane can be disciplined and just, you know, finish all your hits, keep your stick down, don't hook anybody. You know, if you have to take an extra stride to make sure you're on your man, do that instead of a hook or a hold. And, you know, if he can pop in a goal for them, then all of a sudden that mountain gets a little, you know, easier to climb.
What was Strud saying about Kane and how he hits with one hand on the stick or something?
No, he always hits with his stick off the ice.
Yeah.
Where he when he hits a guy, when he body checks, his stick's always flying around. He's got
it. As soon as he said that, it made sense.
Oh, yeah.
Because
he's reckless with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the refs are well aware of it, too, as something to look forward to.
They're on it.
Okay, we were having the debate on Conn Smythe. On the Oilers' side, we were leaning Leon Draisaitl. The Panthers are a game away of winning. You got a couple options there, Ryan. I don't know if you get a vote or not, but where do you lean for the Panthers for a Conn Smythe winner?
Right now, I'm leaning Marchand. Bennett would be the other obvious option for me. And they've both been spectacular, but just,
the bigger Marchand, story.
For me, Conn Smythe, the most important part, and I don't think I do have a vote, but if I did, I would count the final as, kind of 80% of the grade. And Marchand, just the goals he has been scoring, have been so crucial. And everything he's been doing, just like we were talking about how smart he is, I would give him the slight edge. But if Bennett came out and had a hat trick, then I'd probably go back the other way and be like, well, now I can't deny Bennett because of how he's played. And I agree on Draisaitl.
Are you surprised Marchand wasn't on the six for Canada's Olympic team today, that they put Sam Reinhart in front of him?
I'm not surprised. A lot of us in the media were talking about this, and if you look at Canada's Four Nations team and who really kind of stepped up and everything, Marchand didn't have the best tournament, and granted, they're all-stars, but if there was going to be any kind of, roster switching amongst forwards, you probably say Travis Konechny might not be there next time. And then I think you have to think to yourself, as well as Marchand's playing right now, you're trying to forecast for 8 months down the line. What's he going to be like at that point? I think, there are some younger players. I would say Macklin Celebrini, based on how he played at the Worlds and the chemistry he had with Sidney Crosby, would be someone I'd like to get on that roster. And so I think they made the right move, basically going with the guys where what they contribute, and that in the case of guys like MacKinnon and McDavid, they are the best in the league right now, and Makar for that matter.
Is Connor Bedard making your lineup?
Not right now. I mean, if he came out like a house on fire next year, then sure. But based on how he played this year, I don't think he has that complete game that Canada really craves when they play internationally.
Do you think we see a game 7 and you're all heading back to Edmonton?
Just because it's the furthest geographical travel possible, I would not put that out of the realm of possibility. Murphy's Law.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we're going to have to make this trip. Of course you're going to have to make that trip all the way north. To Edmonton. Ryan, very much appreciate your time. Enjoy game 6 tomorrow.
Will do. Thanks for having me.
That is Ryan Kennedy, editor-in-chief, Hockey News here on the Green Zone. What are your thoughts? Do we get a game 7? 1-877-332-8255. Still to come. We have grades to give away. So many grades to give away. Locker and I had some teachers we didn't very much appreciate. But we love being the teacher here in the Green Zone. Our top grades are failing grades from the Rider game. And then a little bit later on, we still have to give our top and failing grades from the Oilers Game 5 performance. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. We've been talking about the first 6 to be announced to the Olympic teams. I can't wait for this Olympic hockey tournament. The NHLers are back at it. It's going to be so awesome.
Love the Olympics.
Four Nations was one thing, but now you have a lot more countries participating this year. Canada's first 6 to the roster, Crosby, McDavid, MacKinnon, Makar, Point, and Sam Reinhart. For the United States side, Austin Matthews, Charlie McAvoy, Quinn Hughes, Matthew and Brady Tkachuk, and Jack Eichel.
I think Macklin's going to make it ahead of Bedard.
Oh, it's not whether Macklin makes it ahead of Bedard. It's whether Bedard makes it. I almost want to, I'm not going to put it on the board. I don't want to put it on the board. I don't want to hex the kid. But after his World Hockey Championship, Macklin Celebrini, I think, has got to be close to a lock. Crosby was so impressed with him.
They loved him.
That I think.
Works hard, good attitude,
Plays everywhere, plays hard everywhere in battles and everything else.
That's one thing he has going for him. There's a lot of criticism about Connor's game, right? Bedard's game with respect to that full 200.
Exactly.
So Macklin Celebrini doesn't have that, right?
No issues there. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. The who should start in goal debate continues in Florida. Chris Knobloch did not announce who their starting goaltender is, though Stuart Skinner was back in the starter's net, so to speak, at practice today. Game 6 goes tomorrow. Game 5 NBA Finals tonight. And that is the Thunder and the Pacers series tied 2 games apiece. And Shohei Ohtani will be on the mound tonight as the starting pitcher for the LA Dodgers. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, we'll go to the Rider game. Our top grades are failing grades. Who gets your top grade? Who gets your failing grade? Let us know now at 1-877-332-8255 here on the Green Zone on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Jamie and Locker with you here. Still coming up, Marty Biron's going to join us at TSN. Buffalo Sabres analyst as well on the goaltending scenario that Chris Knobloch finds himself in. The debate of Skinner and Pickard. He'll weigh in at 4:05.
That's interesting perspective, right? How do you feel if you're being, because I'm sure there's been times in his career where he's like, am I in? Am I out? Like, who's in? Like,
then the coaches plays the game in the media. He's probably already told the goaltenders who's starting, but in the media. And then you got to lie because the coach wants to keep it secret until
top secret.
He announces it. Play that game.
It's a mess. You're not wrong. It's a mess. I still would have put Pickard in for game 5, mm-hmm. but I mean, now hindsight.
Should have just stuck with it. Just should have stuck with Skinner. Just ride it out.
What if he like stands on his head and he's 8-0?
Well, he didn't. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Now we shift our focus to the Rider game on Saturday. It was a 28-23 win. We are about to give you our top grades and failing grades, but Keith wants to hand out some grades first. Keith in Saskatoon, what do you got for a passing top grade from Saturday's game?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Couldn't call into the Rider game last Saturday because I was banging my head into the steering wheel listening to the Oilers do it against Florida. But, gentlemen, I'm going to go off the grid here. My passing grade goes to Kenny Lawler. And I am delighted that we only have to play the Ticats twice in a season. That catch that he made on 2nd and 17 was unreal. So I got to give props to somebody who doesn't wear a Rider jersey because Kenny Lawler showed that to me he's a true professional, great athletic player. And again, luckily he's not in our division. We don't have to face him in the playoffs.
Is that the catch where he climbed a ladder?
It's absolutely. The Hamilton of a pushback after holding penalty. Riders dropped into deep coverage. Lawler finds a hole along the sidelines and goes like catches it at its peak.
Can I add something to that I noticed, Keith? And I don't know if you noticed it. I don't know who was the defender from the Riders on that play, but it looked like he kind of caught him and grabbed him because he knew he caught him high, and it looked like the Riders defender was like helping him down a bit. Did you see that?
I didn't notice that.
But I got a sense that he was like, oh, I caught him high. I'm going to grab him and hang on to him here so he doesn't fall from 7 feet.
Like some respect.
I thought that was a little bit of respect thrown towards Kenny. Anyway, I noticed that.
Keith, what do you got for your failing grade?
You know, I love the guy. He's a newbie on the team, but Joe Couch, to me, he is putting excitement back in the holding of the football on a field goal attempt. I haven't seen this level of poor play since Lucy was holding the ball for Charlie Brown in the Peanuts cartoons. Joe, again, the first game of the year, Joe flipped the seams the other way around. And again, I'm not here to throw water on Lawler or on Couch, but something. Even the field goals they were making, they were by the skin of the teeth. Something's not right. So hopefully, again, it's a long season, but Joe Couch, get off the couch and be better at holding the ball, because to me, we can't have this as we go forward into the 2025 season.
Keith, that's a great start to our top grades and our failing grades from the Riders' 28-23 win over the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
And we didn't have that in ours.
Nope, both those were fresh.
Yeah, there we go. Nice work, brother. All right, Jamie, we'll start with your failing grade.
My failing grade are bad coaches' challenges. When you challenge a play And everybody watching at home is going, why are you challenging? Where's the video department? Each team did it. Corey Mace did it on the catch Lawler down the sideline at the one. He brings it in. He gets 2 feet down. He was well in control. The ball comes out at the end, but come on. You know football. That was a catch. Waste a timeout. Waste your challenge. Then, five plays later, Milenovic does the same thing on Donta Meyer's catch. His foot drags on the ground. Anybody with – where's your video people watching the replay? And then we have to sit through a damn challenge and wait 5 minutes for the ref to say something we all know, which is the call on the field stands. The other team loses a challenge and a timeout. Thanks for wasting our time. I hate bad coaches' challenges. We saw two of them on Saturday with the Tiger Cats and the Riders.
All right, my failing grade, Jamie, goes to Brett Lawther and the kicking game on Saturday night.
This one's from 51, right hash. That is up, and that is wide right. Lawther to end the half with some points, and that is wide again. It's not even close. It is up, and that is wide. He's missed it again. Oh, no.
Okay, normally I'm the guy that defends the kickers on the green zone. This group is quite tough on kickers and punters, and as the self-proclaimed green zone one and only friend of the kicker, today is about tough love. Brett, not a good day on Saturday in the hammer. 2 for 5. The saving grace. Like Keith said, maybe it was Joe Couch. They're not connected yet. They'll work it out. The saving grace. It didn't cost the Riders the game. The other positive I would like to focus on is the fact that after a bad outing, Brett has a habit of bouncing back. So last season, week 11, Riders hosting Montreal, he missed 4 field goals, including, Jamie, and you'll remember this one, a chance to tie the game at the end of the game. Following that game and that performance, Brett only missed 1 field goal, and he finished the year, including the playoffs, going 27 straight. So, my failing grade, Brett, the kicking game, but again, let's focus on the positive. At least it's early in the season. He got his bad one out of the way, all right?
Hopefully. The one bad one out of the way for Brett Lawther.
Don't do that.
We go from our... It's still early in the season. I have faith in Brett, but you never know. Let's go to our top grades. My top grade goes to Daniel Johnson, and I'm pretty sure his head coach might agree with me.
Incredible. You know, another guy that goes in, you know, with his first start and, you know, coming out of camp, I thought he was probably the most improved player. You know, certainly I think him being out there kind of proves that.
The rookie left tackle, his first pro start, Canadian kid, hasn't been seen for a while as a starter at left tackle since the Gene Mikowski Hall of Fame days, locking down the left side. Of course, we've seen Logan Ferland and others move out for like a one spot during an injury. But it was great to see Daniel Johnson, left tackle, still hasn't allowed a sack. Not a lot of pressure off the edge. The entire offensive line continues to keep Trevor Harris clean at the start of the season. But kudos to rookie Canadian Daniel Johnson, my top grade for his performance at left tackle against the Tiger Cats on Saturday. Locker, who gets your top grade?
I'm going to go to A.J. Ouellette and Roland Milligan. Can I do two?
I guess you can.
Here goes A.J. Ouellette. How about this? Touchdown, A.J. Ouellette! Mitchell down the field, and that's going to be intercepted by Milligan. All the way down to the 20, still going to the end zone! Touchdown, Riders! Roland Milligan!
All right, so the home opener against the Red Blacks in week 1, both of them get knocked out early. So they bounce back, and AJ runs the first major in for the Riders, and a nice stiff arm on the play. By the way, it was really fun watching the game with Belton in the room. It was in that stiff arm. He was up and out of his chair like, yeah! I love watching football with Belton. That is a lot of fun. And then, of course, you get a pick six from Roland. So good to see those two bouncing back. It was pretty scary when you lose two of your starters that quickly in the first game. So it's nice to see them contributing in the second game. My top grade, Ouellette and Milligan.
There are your top grades, your failing grades. Who would you like to put on the report card? 1-877-332-8255. David, let's start with your top grade. What is it?
My top grade is the catch by Donnie Myers. I thought he did a great job of That was just as impressive as the Kenny Lawler catch, I think, even though Glenn Suter didn't seem to think so. But the way he had to drag his foot and hold on to the ball on the contact to the ground, it was a very important catch, too. It kept the drive going.
Absolutely. That was a huge catch.
When the game was on the line still. So that's my top grade.
What gets your failing grade?
My failing grade is, I'm with you, Jamie, those coaches' challenges that aren't even close. I couldn't believe either one of them. Like, fishing expertise is what they are. Like, both, it was obvious on the Myers catch, you could see the pebbles come up. He drug his foot. I don't know what they're looking at to say, yeah, let's challenge that. That's ridiculous. That just holds up the game. But
was it possession?
Pardon me?
Was it possession?
He had it. I think he had it stronger than Kenny Lawler did down the sideline on the one.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it.
Anyways, that's mine. And another shout out, like you said, to our big Canadian left tackle. I thought he did a great job in there. And I think our old line is going to be, if we can stay away from any more injuries, is going to be pretty dominant by the end of the season.
Oh, David, this offensive line is so impressive. So many injuries again already this season. And only one sack. It was some pressure up the middle on Trevor Harris. But one sack given up in the first two games. What an impressive performance. Who gets your top grade? Who gets your failing grade? 1-877-332-8255. Jace, it was great meeting you, by the way, at Boston Pizza, says A+ to Locker's facial expressions during the Oilers game. Every time Florida scored, it was hilarious looking over and seeing Locker's face. It made the watch party that much more fun. So at least Jace was having fun at your expense, Locker.
Entertaining someone.
Jace, I was in the same. Every time Florida scored, that was my first thing. What's Locker? How's Locker doing over there? Not too good.
Oh, that's Sam Benicle. I'm like,
put a man on him. 1-877-332-8255. Kirk says top grade goes to AJ Ouellette. Every time I looked over at the Rider game, he was bowling through everybody. I think it's the best we've seen from him since joining the Green and White. I think you are right. Double failing grade for my dog, Macy. First fail, her actually picking the Tiger Cats. Like, come on. Her name may or may not have been some inspiration from the Riders. She should know better. Second fail, she was completely wrong on both games. She needs to learn from Kingston. At least he gets some picks right. That is Locker's dog, Kingston.
The Dognosticator. Thank you, Kirk.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here in the Green Zone. We'd love to hear from you on any top grades or failing grades. From the Riders, 28-23 win over Hamilton. This is the Green Zone on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. The top grades and failing grades coming in on the text line and the fan line from the Riders win over the Hamilton Tiger Cats. We're going to play this game again for the Oilers game from Game 5 a little bit later on this afternoon. But Dave is on the line. Dave, start us off. Who gets your top or what gets your top grade from Saturday night?
Well, I think that, if I can pronounce the name properly, Samuel...
Emilis.
Emilis,
yep.
He kind of seems like, with Schaefer Baker out of the lineup, it kind of seems like he's really stepping up quite a bit. So that would be my passing grade. He kind of seems like he's in for a good season. That would be my passing grade.
They guarded him a little tighter on Saturday. He seemed to have a lot more open shots on the home opener. But yeah, you're right. He's definitely standing up.
What do you get for your failing grade, Dave?
Oh, this is not even a question. I've already told him. The failing grade simply goes to Belton Johnson for banking against the Riders.
That is a well-deserved failing grade, Dave. Thanks for calling him out. I don't think we did it enough on the post-game show that Belton picked the Tiger Cats to beat the Riders on Saturday.
We have him on the program a little later on today on the Green Zone, so we'll have to bring that up. What was he thinking?
Exactly.
He was all cat.
He was all cat on Saturday. He had the Panthers over the Oilers, which he got right.
Yeah.
And then he went with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Okay, let's go to Greg in Saskatoon. Greg, top grade, failing grade, what do you got?
Okay, first of all, I need to know, what jersey did Locker wear on Saturday?
He wore his Riders jersey, number 9, that says Locker on the back. I believe the number represents how many co-hosts I've had.
He's probably getting there, yeah. So, okay, well, he gets a top grade for that. All right.
Top grade for the jersey, okay.
But it's also the failing grade, because if he would have wore the Oilers jersey, they might have won.
See? If you would have worn the Oilers jersey, they would have won.
No, it doesn't work
you
that way.
You should have worn the blue.
No, the jersey thing doesn't work in the regular season. That's why I can get away with the Riders jersey in the regular season. No.
It matters. It does.
Listen, my failing grade, I'm changing it, goes to you and Jamie Nye, Greg, for trying to... trying to confuse this whole jersey thing that I've worked out. It's very scientific.
I'm telling
you're adding Taylor Swift into the mix now. Like, I know.
Well, there's an update on T Swift. Jackie Redmond might have been wrong. She might not be there on Tuesday.
And it doesn't matter. Six. She does not have any impact on hockey.
Then why does your jersey?
Because.
Why does being at a watch party?
It does.
Locker's in negotiation with our bosses not to attend the Green Zone watch party if we have one for Game 7.
All I said was...
because he thinks we're cursing the Oilers.
All I said was, can we have a conversation about how I'm involved?
You want to do it via Zoom. That is not happening.
Or the parking lot.
I got to find out if the 9 on my jersey, which was gifted to me by this fine company, actually has anything to do with the number of co-hosts you've had.
By the way, I know what the 9 is. He and his wife both got jerseys. She has 80. He has 9. 980 was that is what it was. I was just kidding, but it might be close. The time now for the Green Zone 1 minute drill, the latest in sports. It is game 5 NBA Finals tonight.
That almost gave me a seizure.
Thunder against the Pacers. Series tied, 2 games apiece. The Canadians have announced their first 6 to the roster of the Olympics. Surprise, surprise, Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar. The other two are Braden Point and Sam Reinhart on that roster. Still no word on who's going to start for goalie for the Edmonton Oilers. Maybe Marty Biron might have an idea. Maybe he would advise Chris Knobloch on a certain netminder. We'll find out next with the TSN analyst on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.